Father, bless these words to our hearts and give us a portion from your throne. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 7. And in verse 14, the Word of God says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Now, for some reason, it seems that some believers think that because the law is spiritual, that means that somehow, in some way, Paul is suggesting we should live by the law. But that's not what he said. And in fact, in many, many places in Paul's writings, he says quite the opposite. But that does not mean that the law is not spiritual. It was given, after all, by God. But it was not given so that I would be able to find my righteousness in it. It was given so that every mouth could be shut. And so Paul says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand." You ever feel like that? "What I am doing, I don't understand." But that's perfectly okay, because it's not for a man to know his own path, to know his own ways. God will always give me a circumstance where I don't know my own path, I don't know my own ways, I don't understand. Very rarely will the believer, at least initially, understand the call of God or the promises of God. Very rarely will he understand God's way within the details of his life. Very rarely will God put the believer in a circumstance and the believer says, "Oh yeah, I get it." Very rarely does God ever do that. God will give us a call and we have no clue how in the world that's going to happen. God will give us a promise and we have no idea how in the world he's ever going to come through with it. God will give us the opportunity to pray, and yet we're praying for things that by sight are utterly impossible. So it's not really in our experience to have a whole lot of understanding of the details of our own life. Circumstances will happen in my life and I say, "Why, God?" And that's not wrong. But all it does is show that the Bible is correct. That it's not for a man to know his own way. I don't understand the ways that God leads. I only understand when God leads. I don't understand the things that God says to me. I only know what he says. I don't understand all the promises, how they apply to me. I just know when I have a promise. I don't understand how God's going to come through in prayer. I just know that he does. And so very rarely will it be given to a man to understand. And what I do, I don't always understand. Any spirit-filled believer will get to the place where they are doing something and they don't know why. They know that it's right before God, but they don't know why. Like, "God, I know you want me here, but why do you want me here? What's the point of my being here? I'm not doing anything that I can see." And God says, "That's not for you to know. And you will not always understand. That's okay, just so long as I know that God understands, I'm okay with it. If God stops understanding, I'm in trouble. Because then nobody understands. But so long as God understands, it doesn't really matter where I am. Some things are more edifying than others. Some things I feel more comfortable with than others. Some things I don't get so nervous as others. Some things do not terrify me where others might. But that's okay. So long as God understands, and he does." You see, all things are in fact from God. It is not possible for me to take myself out of the plan of God, even if I take myself out of the will of God, I cannot ultimately take myself out of the plan of God. Because the plan of God has encompassed it from eternity past, where He knew my steps beforehand. He knew my thoughts afar off. And the plan of God was formed around my decisions, not necessarily around the perfect will of God. The plan of God was formed so that in the end, all things really will work together for good. To those who love God. Who is it that loves God? They that are loved by God. To them, it will ultimately work together for good. Even though they do not see for a nanosecond how it could possibly be the case. And yet, in the end, it is. See, the problem that we believers have is really very simple. It's not that we can't see tomorrow. It's that we can't see the next moment. The other day when all those earthquakes struck. Massive earthquakes, right? Hundreds and hundreds of people perished. And yet, how many of them got up that morning saying, "Oh, you know what? Today there's an earthquake on the schedule." They didn't know. They didn't know the next moment. You see, our lives change on a dime. We just take some time getting to the dime. But then we get to the dime and our lives change on a dime. They change like no time at all, like this, and it is different. For example, several years ago, it was in the late 90s, Princess Diana died. And so much of the world's mentality changed on a dime. She didn't know what was coming in her next moment. Nor did the rest of the world. So many people in the world looked up to her and took some comfort of some sort from her. And so the world's mentality changed a little bit. And it happened in a moment. Our lives are like that also. They change on a dime. I have a call, but how in the world am I going to enter that call, God? God says, "You don't have to understand. I'll take care of it." "But God, I don't trust you to take care of it." "That's okay, I'll take care of it anyway." You see, in some ways we're like a little hamster. Right? And we're running around our little hamster maze. And God says, "You can run around all you like, but I'll feed you at feeding time. You can do whatever you like, but I'll take care of it when the time is right." "But I can't see my way out of the maze." He says, "It's okay. You don't have to run out of the maze. I'll just pick you up by the scruff of your neck and I'll take you out of the maze when the time is right." Isn't that kind of what we're like? Sure it is. You see, we don't know our own path. We don't know our own ways. Nor will God tell us very frequently. God tells us on a need-to-know basis, not on a want-to-know basis. "I want to know now, God." And God says, "No, I'm not telling you." "But God, it would really make me feel so much better if I knew now." "No, I'm not telling you." "But God, how do I even know that you hear me?" "Because I hear you. I said I hear you. I hear you." "But God, then tell me now." "No, I'm not telling you." "Then God, just do it." "No, I'm not doing it right now." "Why not?" "Because it's appointed for another time." You see, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And so God puts me into a waiting process where my strength is renewed. I don't feel very renewed, God, and I certainly don't feel any stronger than I used to. You ever meet a weightlifter? There's one. They're lifting some weights. They don't feel particularly strong after they're finished. They feel very weak. But their weakness turns into a strength. You see, we go into a circumstance, we don't feel very strong, we feel very weak. But God says, no, I'm strengthening you. No, you're not God, you're weakening me. No, I'm strengthening you. No, you're not God, you're weakening me. I feel much weaker than I have ever felt before. That's because I'm strengthening you. I don't see it, God. Doesn't matter. Well, I need to understand. No, you don't. You ever get that? You ever go there? Have you ever been in a circumstance like that? I need to understand. No, you don't. Well, how am I going to follow you? You will. How do you know? Because I know the end from the beginning. You'll follow me. I don't know, God. I feel like quitting. You won't. See, God is supremely confident in His ability towards us and His plan for our lives and His ability to be faithful to us and in the outcome that He already knows. I'm not confident, but my confidence has nothing to do with God's confidence. God is far more confident than I am. Good thing. Can you imagine if God depended on me to figure things out? Well, I've got my little head full of dust, and now I'm going to start figuring things out. God says, don't worry about it. Just relax, and I'll figure it out. As a matter of fact, it's already been figured out. And I'm going to work it into your heart. God, I don't know if I like your call. Doesn't matter. But God, I'm not willing. That's okay. I'm not going, God. You will. I'm not going. Today you're not, but tomorrow you will. I don't think so. You don't know what tomorrow brings, do you? You see, we can't figure God out. No matter how hard we try, we can't figure God out. That's one of the things that I learned a while back, and it took me a long time to learn it. Is you simply cannot figure God out. You see, I can't figure God out any more than I can see into the next moment. And we think that we can because we see our physical surroundings. But that's a deception. I didn't say you can't see your surroundings. I said you can't see the next moment. Well, how do you see a moment? That's the issue. That's the whole issue. I see the next moment, but I don't see it with my ability to understand. I see the next moment through trusting God and faith in His promises and faith in His faithfulness and faith in His mercy and faith in His loving kindness, faith in His character, faith in His Word. So I can see God, but I do it by faith. I don't understand Him, I just know that He's there. I don't understand the love of God, I just believe that it exists. I don't know grace, but I accept it when it comes my way. When does it come my way? All the time. When I fail, or when I'm doing well. I am what I am either way by the grace of God. Well, I'm not really that good. What do you mean? God's grace must not be that great. No, you don't understand. God's grace isn't done yet. You'll be done when you go home. But look at my life. What about it? Well, it's a shambles. No, it's not. Well, yes, it is. Look, everything's falling apart. It's not. Well, look at it. It's not. I know exactly where you are, and I know exactly where I want you, and you are exactly where I want you to be. And if I wanted you to be somewhere else, God says, then you would be there. But right now, you're exactly where I want you. But it doesn't feel so good. That's because you're living by your emotions. I can't win. You already have. I don't feel like I did. Stop living by your emotions. Yeah. That's about it. You see, God leaves us no other options but to trust Him. And we can squirm and we can fuss and we can kind of kick against the pricks and we can get all upset and we can get all emotional or anxious or whatever we want, afraid, whatever we want to get. It's okay. We'll get over it. And God's will be done. And as God said, so He will do. You see, God is good in my life. I'm not always so good in my life. But God is good in my life. And so the fact that I don't understand is absolutely irrelevant. He does. And so long as He does, I don't need to. Because in fact, I don't have the ability to on my best day. And even when God clearly tells me, I still don't get it. Why? Because His ways are higher than my ways, and His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. But God, what if I don't know what to do? And what if I don't know what decision is right? And what if I don't know if I should go left or if I should go right? Don't worry about it. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Well, how do I know you're ordering them? Because I said I was. But how do I know I can believe you? Because I'm God. Well, and that's usually where we leave the conversation. Well, yeah. The word is good, not well. Use good grammar. See, this is the thing that we believers have. We don't understand. All we know is that we are carnal. Have you ever felt carnal? Show of hands. Have you ever felt carnal? Have you ever felt carnal? There's one who hasn't. I'm just kidding. That's okay. You know why? You're in good company. The apostle felt carnal. I think the only one who never felt carnal was the Savior. The apostle felt carnal. And that's okay because we live in this body of death. And we get hung up on such trivial things because we don't really understand. And we think that we need to, or we think that we ought to. And God says, you have no way to. You don't understand, God says, anything that I haven't told you. How do I know, He says that? What have you that you have not received? Don't have understanding? You haven't received it yet. That's how. But God, it's like, what do I do 5 years in the future? He said, what are you worried about then? It's not here. Like, why do people worry about the future anyway? It's like worrying about something that doesn't exist. Like, I'm really worried about what happened in Neverland after Peter Pan left. Did Neverland ever fall apart? Was it okay? Did the nasty little Captain Hook take over and torment everybody? Or what happened? What happened in Neverland? This is what it's like to worry about the future. What's going to happen in the future? What are you worried about? It doesn't exist. Well, I have a future. How do you know? Ooh. Well, I hope I have a future. Well, certainly you have one in heaven. And probably you have one on earth. Although nobody guaranteed you that one. But you certainly, if you're born again, you have one in heaven. And if you're not born again, you need to be. Because you have a future too, and it's not very good. Thus saith the Lord. My future doesn't exist. Like, what is future but a conceptualization of a vague imagery of what may be, maybe not. In a strange passage of planet and sun. That's what future is. So what am I worried about? Like, well, I don't know. I've been there so many times I've been there so many times. We've all been there. So, Steve, have you been there?
Yeah.
Sue, have you been there? I've been there. Half my life I'm there. I don't get it, God. God says, okay, you don't have to. But God, I don't get it, you don't have to. But God, I don't get it, you don't have to. But God, I don't get it, you don't have to. What does it say? Trust in the Lord in all your ways. And lean not on your own understanding. But I want to lean on my understanding, God. No, you're not going to lean on your understanding. My ways are above your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. What kind of understanding could you possibly hope for? Well, I want to know how it turns out. Well, I'll tell you how it turns out. You want to know how it turns out? All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. You want to know how it'll turn out? It will turn out good. It will turn out good. But God, I don't get it. How will I get there? It doesn't matter how you'll get there. It will turn out good. Leave how you get there up to me. I've already set it up. The road's already in place. It leads to Chicago. Stay on the road and you'll get to Chicago. But I can't see Chicago. It doesn't matter. You know, it's funny. People trust MapQuest more than they trust God sometimes. It'll turn out good. How do you know? Because you are loved by God and you are called by God. And you have promises from God that He will never leave you and He will never forsake you, that the end of a thing is better than the beginning and it will turn out good. But I don't get it! That's what I'm going to call this message. I don't get it. But I don't get it! How in the world is it going to... Doesn't matter if you get it. It will turn out good. Will I get what I want? I'm not telling you. Why not? Because you won't grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and you won't go from faith to faith if I tell you right now. And the loss that you would suffer by knowing now is eternally greater than any emotional soothing for the moment of knowing that you may receive. I don't get it. Don't have to. Trust in the Lord in all your ways. And lean not under your own understanding. Just trust in the Lord. Acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. Don't know what the right decision is? Just acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. He'll direct it. But I'm not happy here. That's okay. Don't live by your emotions. But God, I can't sense you here. That's okay. Don't live by your emotions. Like, how often do we believers want our circumstances to agree with our emotions or our emotions to agree with our circumstances? And God says, neither one of them is your solution. Your circumstances are not your solution and your emotions are not your solution. You know what your solution is? Trust in the Lord in all your ways and lean not on your understanding. There's your solution. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. There's your solution. Draw near to... How do I draw near to God? Well, what are you doing is you are falling on your knees because the circumstance seems so difficult to you. And in fact, the only thing that your circumstance is really difficult to is not so much you, but to your emotions, because they're looking at the circumstance, initiating to your mind, sending your free volition in a spiral. And all the time, you left behind the promises. No, that's not how we go. You know what happens to us believers is we get into a circumstance or we get a weakness or we get a situation or we get whatever it is that might plague us and we respond to it in our emotions. And when we do that, we actually give Satan a place in our emotions. But God says, don't give room to the devil, and don't give room to the devil in your emotions. You see, this is what addictive personalities are. And you can have all kinds of addictions. You can have addiction to, obviously, alcohol or drugs. People have addictions to pornography. People have addictions to relationships. People have addictions to Facebook. Nothing against Facebook, but you know what I'm saying. People have addictions to all kinds of things. This is where addictive behavior comes from. In my emotions, I try to let them be satisfied by something apart from God. And the moment that I do, I give place to the devil in my emotions. And you better believe that when the devil gets an opportunity, he takes it. And so now Satan initiates to my emotions, and I'm no longer experiencing just Adamic emotions. I am experiencing satanic emotions. This is why they can become so intense. Because they're not even my emotions, they're my emotions responding to Satan's emotions. And they are profoundly intense, far more intense than any human is capable of handling. And as I enter into these emotions, I feel like I'm a slave to them. I don't even have control to them. The compulsion is overwhelming. Well, of course it is. A human being dealing with supernatural emotions. Of course it's overwhelming. You can't win that one. And then I start making decisions because the emotions start dictating to my mind, and my mind just kind of says, this is too much for me, and just tries to go over in the corner and fall asleep, and my volition now not responding to my mind, but rather to my emotions. And when that happens, my emotions completely rule my life. I have no self-control. I have no ability to overcome. I have no ability to gain victory. I don't even have the ability to resist the temptation. Why? Satanic emotions. Too much for a person to handle. So what do I do? You see, you know what happens to the person who experiences this? This person will become very frustrated with themselves and get condemned. Do you know what condemnation is? Condemnation is simply a manipulative mechanism of the flesh to hide from the conviction of life. That's all it is. I hide from God in condemnation. Why? I'm still the issue. Adam, the Adamic nature, loves being the issue, and it'll take it any way it can get it. If I can't be the center of myself and of my attention of everything in a positive way, that's okay. Just get condemned and you can be the center of attention all you like, and you can call it religious. Even better, you can put a God tag on it. It takes you nowhere. And then from nanosecond you wake up, you realize this isn't right, and then you go into condemnation and say, you are evil. See, there's a problem with the term, you are evil, as I say it to myself. You know what the problem is? The word, you. Evil, yes, you. Leave it out of your vocabulary. How often do we say, I am so evil, I am so this, I am so that? You know what the problem is? That little word, I. Leave it out of your vocabulary. See, this is where Paul found himself. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, no good thing dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? What is he talking about? My emotions take control of me over my mind. This is what happens to the believer. The believer's emotions surpass his mind, or do an end run around his mind directly to his volition. And when that happens, he no longer is able to serve with the mind, but simply respond to demonic initiation in the emotions. And the reason why the believer does this is because although that believer is sincere, although the believer may love God, although the believer may want to be right with God, the believer has not gone all the way with the cross. Many believers live short of the cross. They'll be committed, they'll be dedicated, but they'll also be thoroughly frustrated from time to time. And while they are sincere, they do not experience the fullness of the newness of life. Because they are living short of that newness of life. And when I live through the cross, then my emotions are no longer an issue. Why? Because I reckon myself dead unto those emotions, but I feel them okay. But they're there okay. What is it? I'm not supposed to have them? It's not that you're not supposed to have them. They just don't dictate your life. But they're there. What do I do with them? Are your emotions now your standard? You see, for many believers, yes, their emotions are their standard. But for the spirit-filled believer who knows what it is to live at the cross, the emotions may be an unpleasant hindrance from time to time, but the Word of God is their standard. The Word of God is the foundation of their thinking, and the Word of God regulates through the Word of God's presence in their mind their free volition. And no longer are the emotions able to do an end run around the mind. The mind pushes aside the emotions. Well, isn't that being ascetic? You can call it whatever you like. But my Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You see, the captivity that I have in my emotions. Addictive personalities are simply personalities in which the emotions do an end run around the mind. Well, what about biochemistry? What about biochemistry? You don't have a free volition? Well, it's so powerful. Yeah, okay. You use your free volition correctly and your biochemistry becomes very cooperative. You let your emotions take over your biochemistry, and your biochemistry starts to resist you. Why? Because you weren't designed to live in your emotions. So when we get into this scenario where we don't understand and all of a sudden we demand understanding and God says, no, if I'm living in my emotional response to my circumstance, my mind is out of the picture and the Word of God has no regulatory effect in my life. So what do I do? Reckon yourself dead indeed unto self and alive unto Christ. It's not really very complicated, but it's not pleasant. Oh, get some guts and deal with it. It's that simple. God never promised you pleasant. God promised you His faithfulness. But if it's not pleasant, is He faithful? I don't know. You ever have surgery? How pleasant was that? Did it help in the end? No, it didn't help in the end. Well, you're up, aren't you? And if the first one didn't help, that's okay. The second one will. And if the second one doesn't help, then you'll be much better when you get home to be with the Lord. So don't worry about it. One way or the other, you win. But I don't want to die. Then reckon yourself already dead and you won't worry about it. Because you've died with Christ. You get it? It's really not that complicated. But I don't understand. I don't get it, God! Doesn't matter. Our eternal desire to get it is really just in the desire for my emotions to settle down. That's what it is. I just want my emotions to... I don't get it, God! You're telling me that your emotions are running a little bit amok and you're not really allowing them to be subdued by the Word of God, but instead you're doing an end run around your mind with your emotions and hopefully not reaching your volition, but sometimes all too often it does. You know what? Leave your end run behind and start trusting God. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, get some guts. People feel much better when they have guts. Right? Don't gutless people feel terrible most of the time? I mean, show me somebody who's gutless. I'll show you somebody who's not really happy with themselves. Get some guts. But what if it hurts? Get some guts! But I don't understand. Get some guts! But I don't get it. Get some guts. But I don't want to wait. Get some guts. I want things the way that I want them. Get some guts. Too many gutless Christians. See, one of the things that God wants to teach us is to have guts. What is it that scares you? Get some guts. Do you honestly believe God won't be faithful to you? Well, I don't think He hears me. Well, then He's lying. Well, I don't think He lies. I just don't think He hears me. Well, He said He hears you, so either He hears you or He's lying. So which is it? Well, this is where we usually end. Well, no, good. No. Don't worry about whether you get it or not. It doesn't make any difference if you get it or not. Don't worry about if you feel good about it. It doesn't make any difference if you feel good about it. Don't worry about how I like this, I don't like this. Don't worry about if you like it or you don't like it. You are where you are, and that's where you are. Why are you there? Because God put you there. But I feel like I got there through my own mistakes. Well, then you must have taken yourself right out of the hand of God. Well, maybe I did. Okay, fat chance. You're not that big. There's no room for my flesh. Yay! God is going to be faithful to you whether you want Him to be or not. Well, of course I want God to be. Are you sure? Wouldn't you rather prefer wallowing? Ouch. Oh well. Get some guts. You know, so often we love our misery. I don't like being miserable at all. Oh, sure you do. You love it there. No, I really don't. No, you really do. If you didn't love it there, you wouldn't stay. But I don't have any choice. Oh, sure you do. You have the choice to start trusting God, start believing that He's good, start believing that He'll take care of you, start believing that His mercy endures forever, start believing that faithful is He who's called you who will also do it, start believing that the end of the thing is better than the beginning thereof, start believing that God perfects that which concerns you, start believing that you're in the palm of His hand, start believing that He will make you stand, start believing. It's a choice. If you're tired of being miserable in it, then stop. It's your choice. The trouble with us believers, though, is sometimes we get so used to it that we've conditioned ourselves to being there. And once I condition myself to misery, I like it. Why? Because I get to be the center of my attention. But God says, you know, you'll feel a whole lot better if I'm the center of your attention. If you trust my promises, if you believe what I told you, you'll feel a whole lot better. But I believe I just can't get over it. Oh, no, you really can get over it very, very quickly. You just don't want to. I don't get it. Don't have to. Why am I in this difficult circumstance? I don't get it, God. You don't have to. Just trust me in your circumstance and everything will be just fine. I don't get it. Well, then don't try to lean on your own understanding. You see, there's this funny thing about the Word of God. It really doesn't leave any room for the flesh. You know why? Because the Word sets me free. See, that little flesh thing, as comfortable and as well acquainted as I may feel there, and I don't tell myself I'm comfortable because of course I'm being miserable in it, but as well acquainted as I'm being there and as familiar as I may be with that place, it's a place of bondage. It's not a place of the joy of the Lord. It's a place of bondage. And so what do? I start believing God. You don't get it? Then simply believe. Whoever said that you have to get it? As a matter of fact, God said, don't try to get it. Just believe. And you'll be perfectly fine. Amen?